CliffCentral.com.
All right, it's all happening. It's a Thursday. Where the hell did this week go? I know we had a short week, but really? Shouldn't be a Thursday. It feels like the other day was Thursday. I mean, it feels like the burning platform was 2 days ago. What the hell is this? What's happened to time? Our idea of time is just completely warped. Screwed up. It's all because of this lockdown. Honestly, I wake up some mornings, I don't know whether it's a weekday, a weekend, a holiday. Nobody seems to know anything.
It's a day that ends with Y.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Right. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I was laughing alone, though. Thank goodness for the mute button.
Oh, yeah? Why?
Because you played a song by Mika just before we started the show.
Mm-hmm.
Relax.
Oh,
Take it easy.
Yeah.
Even I had to tell myself to sit down. That falsetto is not for the faint-hearted.
It's fantastic. Love a bit good of a falsetto. Good morning.
That song took over the world at a stage.
It did, and men singing like that was a big deal for a long time. I mean, the Bee Gees made it famous and popular. A couple of other bands that have done very well over the years, just doing that little falsetto. Very nice. Uh-huh. How are you, Mbulelo?
I'm better than ever.
Than ever. You went for some long-ass walk or run the other day from somewhere in the middle of Randburg into, like, Rivonia.
I went to Randburg on Sunday, but I went to the West Rand on Saturday, which was pretty long.
That's the one I'm talking about.
What?
From the West Rand, this guy ran.
From Rivonia. I live in Rivonia.
So, just explain, how many Ks is that?
Well, that was 22 Ks, but that was quite brutal because Johannesburg isn't built like everywhere else.
So it's a lot of up and downs. There's a lot of roads where you're kind of running in the traffic almost.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to get back into elite running shape because I spent, as you know, most of the lockdown living in the studio getting in good physical shape. So the conditioning's good, but you got to get your running legs, you know, which is why I say I'm better than ever. I feel like I'm fit and strong and up and at 'em. I'm loving it.
Were you running throughout all, or were you also walking during the
No. No, there's no walking. We don't walk it. This is grown-ups.
Oh.
How long does 22Ks take you?
Well, right now I'm doing endurance training, so it was like 2 and a bit hours. But it can take me... If I'm fit, when I'm fit, it's 85 minutes. So it's 4 minutes a K. And I'm really, really fit.
I went on this walk on Sunday, right, with the dog and a whole bunch of friends. And it was somewhere between 5 and 10 kilometers. I can't remember. It might have been 5. But it felt to me like it was very long. Not because I wasn't having fun, because we were talking the whole way and we were moving at a very steady pace, but that was just a walk. Mm-hmm. Now, you ran 22 kilometers, you say. There's just, you know, wild horses could not... If there was a zombie apocalypse, I wouldn't run 22 kilometers. I wouldn't... First of all, I wouldn't make it.
Honestly.
I wouldn't survive. I would... die if I ran for 3 kilometers straight. I know that because I've tried. 3 kilometers very nearly killed me in Cape Town once.
And then after 22 Ks, do you feel like
shit is what you feel?
Done. You're down and done for the day, or do you feel like, okay, could have done more?
No, I mean, it's not my longest run since I've been back in Joburg. I hate to, blow smoke.
No, go on. Tell us, what's the longest?
So I've done the longest since I've been here is a 55K in a single shot. But last I usually
Mother
do.
Of mercy.
So to let you know is I usually didn't put the stuff on Strava, but a friend of mine said, hey, put it out there. People will like it. It'll be motivational, blah, blah, blah. I'm not that person. But I usually do a 25, 30K every weekend. So to me, it wasn't, you just realize 22 is not a lot. And I'm an endurance runner, so you got to know this is what I do, you know? I've got real problems.
You're a nutcase. By the way, someone is saying you should never post your run on any of these things because the killer, who Sia's always talking about, will see where you're running at what time and wait to ambush and kill you.
This is why I mix it up.
Okay. So you don't run the same route every time.
No, because road running's murder and boring, so I have to mix it up. I don't live in Cape Town anymore, so no mountain right next to me to run up.
But Mbulela, I would just like to cite Gareth's favorite Bible verse at this point.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Could the congregation please open up to the book of Proverbs?
Yes, yes.
Chapter 28. Yes. It's a chapter. Yeah, it is
chapter 28. Verse
1.
Only
the wicked
run
when no one is chasing them. And the church said,
amen.
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 That's my line. Well done, Sia. Amen. You see, I, because you're a pastor's son, I knew you'd remember one thing I've said over the 6.5 years we worked together.
We'll preach this gospel, Gareth. Mbulela will get it one day.
I tell you, what a line that is. Only the evil man runneth when nothing is chasing him.
Oh, yes. My gosh. But I have to tell you, without going on a...
I heard the best prayer ever. I don't have a very religious family, right? So we sat down for a birthday at some point during lockdown. And my sister's boyfriend says, I'll say grace, which is weird because he's not religious either. So we're like, okay, well, cool. Let's go along with this. So he says, Dear Lord, with his head bowed. And he looks up at the sky with his fist raised. And he goes, stay out of our way.
Yeah.
I started laughing, and 5 minutes later, we could carry on with the meal. Jesus, that was funny.
That is very funny. And I don't want to out him here, but it's from Family Guy, the character Stewie. They go back to World War II.
I love it.
And there's that scene when he goes, Dear Jesus, stay the hell out of our way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, speaking of Family Guy, there's also this, which is hilarious. It's a clip that I now sing to the nephews whenever I see them. It's a clip about what you should have for breakfast. And you'll know this, Mbulelo. Let me play it quickly, if you guys can hear this.
Steak and eggs and steak. That's what you should have for breakfast. Delicious. Delicious. Steak and eggs and steak. Just making sure you heard. I got it.
That is the best, like, breakfast menu I've ever heard. Steak and eggs and steak. That's what you should have for breakfast. Isn't that great? That is so fantastic.
That's when Stewie goes on steroids, a baby.
Oh, right.
Yeah, what?
What a great show.
From an outsider listening in, it sounds like a cookie show.
So, here we are. It's Thursday morning. There's lots to get into this morning. First of all, I see James Dalton is joining you. This is his third appearance. He's quite popular.
He's very, very popular, so yes. Backed by a popular demand.
Now, he was part of the Springbok team that won the World Cup in the 95.
The Rainbow Nation.
Rainbow Nation.
As Nelson Mandela.
Nation building.
Mm. Oh, come on.
Fellow South Africans. He was one of the constituents.
Yes, and a stakeholder.
Who are you guys?
I mean, these politicians.
This is ANC senior politicians. That's how they all sound.
It's exactly how they all sound. That's why they never get to doing anything. It's an honor. Yeah, he was one of the stakeholders in 1995.
All right, so he's making a return appearance. Now, he used to be a dangerous bastard. I remember there were people who, if they saw him in a nightclub, this is in my youth, so like early 20s for me, he was a scary guy. Like, you didn't fuck around with James Dalton. He would beat guys up just for looking at a girl who knew his girlfriend.
He's from a certain part of town, you know. Jeppy being one of the school that he went to. Right. We know what that certain part of town means. You don't look at. But you know, when you get to know the guy, I think the persona versus the person, as with most people, right, is when you get to know the person and you understand where they come from, how they were cultured, It changes your perception of people, and when you get the truth of what's going on, what's made this person into who they are, you tend to empathize with people a little more rather than just.
I feel that way too, and I think even if you think of the worst person you've ever met in your life, And I mean, it's hard for me to think of the worst person I met in my life. I can't think who that might be. But if you sat down and spoke to them, if you were locked in a room with them and you were told you have to stay together until you know 100 things about each other, I reckon you'd emerge from that room and you'd find reasons to like each other. No matter who they were, right?
Well said.
So
that's tough.
Because I would have avoided James Dalton my whole life long if I didn't know that he was on your show. So I'm going to listen again. I mean, I heard him the second time, I think.
You know what my thing is? I'm also unbelievably intolerant of boring people. And so I'm attracted to people with a bit of texture.
You better hope you're interesting.
People in glass houses.
Yeah. See us full of good proverbs this morning.
I like it. That's a good one.
No, just be careful.
Only boring people get bored is what Sia's saying. So
yeah.
I got that, Sia. I see what it's what you're not saying I'm picking up, and I'm deeply hurt.
No. Just nothing at all. So you were saying you're intolerant of boring people.
Yeah. I don't have time for it.
See, what I've always... well, slightly admired about people with personalities like yours, in social settings, you don't have this need to please. And so when you are disinterested, you are disinterested. You're one of those people who can like turn around and leave a conversation as soon as it doesn't please you. Oh my gosh, I can't imagine doing that.
It's the best feeling. And sometimes, and I know that this is... you know, because I think people like Mbulelo and I, and we have similar personalities, we don't get depressed and we don't feel as much social pressure as other people, but we do get a little psychopathic. So we get that dark kind of, you know, we can be very destructive.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even realize. I don't know if you like this, Mbulelo, but my problem is, like, I don't get depressed. So if I'm having a bad day, what tends to happen... and it's happened a few times on the show, so anyone who listens to the show more than 2 days a week will know that some days I'm just extremely I sound angry. Now, I'm not really angry. It's like a dark thing that takes over. And I become, instead of constructive and positive and useful, I become destructive. I'm like an anti-team player, if there's such a thing, and it becomes extremely difficult to have any conversation, even about trivial things, with me without me looking for a fight with you. and you know this, Sia, because there's some days where I'm just you should really just stay out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it very hard on people around me, whether it's family, friends, whether it's relationships that I have, whether it's work colleagues. And I don't even realize sometimes I'm in it. So that's my disintegrating structure. And for some people, their disintegration comes in with depression and that kind of thing. So I know I've been like that through this lockdown at least twice. And the first time was probably somewhere in May, where I was very down and I was very negative. And instead of me being thoughtful and listening and feeling, I start getting demonstrative and dictatorial and vulgar and rude and angry and all of that stuff. And I know it's happened recently as well. And it just comes along. And usually it's around my birthday, which is like, you know, a week and a half. So that's not good. But I think I'm over it already. I think I'm through. You know why? Because I went outside yesterday, and it was actually a very nice day, and I looked out, and I saw little shoots on the trees, and I'm very connected, not like in nature, you know, through the
oh
pool,
my God,
but I'm very connected I'm very connected to the seasons and what's going on, and this is my least favorite time of year, is kind of that arse end of winter. And it's ironic that I should be born at the arse end of winter, my least favorite time of year. And August is always very unpleasant because of that wind as well. You got all the dead leaves everywhere, and it's just fucking depressing. In Gauteng especially, everything's brown and it's gray and it's yellow and it's just shit. I mean, you come from KZN, Sia. So you know that everything there is green all year round. And that makes
All I knew.
That makes me happy, you see. I look at people now, especially if you go into social media, I've got lots of friends in the Northern Hemisphere who are in the middle of summer. And we've been in winter, but we've also been in lockdown through winter. And it just, this whole place looks like Stalingrad.
Volgograd, please. That's old talk. That's old talk. The Kremlin won't accept that.
Well, that's kind of what they, you know, that you know when the Russians just scorched earth everything behind them and made it impossible for the Germans to survive because there was nothing for them to eat as they conquered forward. The Russians just retreated backwards but burnt everything to a crisp. So there was nothing for the Germans to eat. There was nothing for them to occupy. It was just a that's the whole scorched earth policy, effectively.
Indeed. Mm.
And Stalingrad was the pictures from it's just the only pictures in the whole of the history of humanity that we have, photograph wise, that are more depressing than Stalingrad are like Ypres and what's that place in France where they just completely massacred the French in the First World War?
Normandy.
Verdun, where they just turned the trees were turned into matchsticks because they just shelled the place to fucking pieces. And it was mud in the trenches, and the mud was mixed with the blood and the dead bodies and the matchsticks of the broken up trees. And it was just, it looked like hell must look. If there's a description of hell anywhere in Dante's Inferno, it doesn't compare to Verdun in 1917.
Can I get half a mark for mentioning Normandy?
Yeah, but that was a different war you're talking about.
And ridiculous, yeah.
Can I just get a certificate of participation then?
No.
All right, let me Google more about Verdun.
So that long explanation, that boring explanation I just gave you now, is part of the reason that I'm just a little less happy than the best version of me, which happens in spring. October, I'm elated just by the fact that things are bursting into bloom around me, and you can see nature reviving, and you can see greenery starting to sprout forth, and birds chirping. And it just is such a great time, and we're going there now, which makes me very excited. Hop on this bus. It's good.
This is probably where we differ. I think we do share a lot of traits. Is for me, I'm always I enjoy the suffering. Like it's why I enjoy climbing mountains.
Yeah, right? You know what that is called? A martyr complex.
It is.
You got a bit of a martyr complex. You probably think that you're doing something noble when you're in pain.
No, well,
you're a Calvinist. Essentially, you're a Calvinist.
To some extent. To some extent.
But, why?
Well, the very nature of life is to be catabolic, right? In order for there to be life, there must be death, Gareth, as I'm sure you understand this only too well. And,
it's not normal people's default setting. It's yours.
Well, yes. And you should know this as a child of the church, is there is salvation in suffering, they say. And that is a Jesus. Jesus lived for 33 years. Not me said that.
But you know as well as anybody that if you live in that only, you're an insufferable bore.
Suffering must end.
Sia is exactly the opposite of you in this respect. He does not see life completely as a series of miserable sufferings. And I would aver that there are a lot of people like Sia. And they're a lot more pleasant to be around most of the time. Because suffering is something they avoid. You are the kind of masochist who...
You seek suffering almost.
Well, he finds meaning in it, and I can tell you, he's not wrong. Mbulelo, you are not wrong. I mean, there's huge satisfaction if you've conquered something, and there's meaning in your life because you find meaning through whether it's suffering or a challenge or winning or overcoming obstacles. That is the point of life. So as much as someone like Sia tries to avoid it, that stuff gives you a purpose.
And in a very sort of tacit, useful sense, functional sense, is that it does build character as an individualist. You know, I do kind of operate alone. Is if you're going to operate mostly alone, you better callous yourself, because life is for the living, and it's not easy.
Yeah.
So it's got a functional sense as well as a spiritual sense for me. It's not just, let's get out there and suffer to no end. It must have an end, of course.
You know, I don't know why, still after knowing you for a couple of months, I marvel at some of the things that you say. I'm really taken aback and also very grateful you aren't a preschool teacher. Imagine you.
Or your prefect at high school.
You know, at least, you know, as a teenager, maybe you can stomach some of what he says. Imagine a poor, like, six-year-old having to hear this. So, the building blocks fell on my foot. Well, let me tell you, stub your toe now, stub your whole entire foot, walk into the wall.
Break your leg and then it can grow back stronger.
Yeah, actually, you don't need a leg. Chop it off.
Do you know what I watched over the weekend? I watched that movie 300.
Spartans.
Yeah, Spartans and King Leonidas and the Persians and Xerxes. And I love that movie. I mean, it was just, in its time, it was amazing. They did a sequel, which was shit. But it is actually, next year is the 2,500th anniversary of the Battle of Thermopylae.
Jeez.
2,500 years. Next year. And it's ironic, I was watching this movie, and it obviously, the nerd takes over, and then I go and read all about Thermopylae again, and where the armies were positioned, and I'm looking up on Google Maps where Thermopylae's location is and how it's changed since 2,500 years ago. And I just loved that. That's a rabbit hole that I could go down any time with history. But I was thinking while I was watching this, those guys, you know, the Spartans really did throw any of the children who were not born perfect. They threw them over the edge of a cliff and they were devoured by animals. So if you weren't perfect as a physical specimen, you just didn't make it in Spartan society. And they were tough as nails. They had to be. You know, the world was a tough place. And part of the reason that the Spartans live on in our memories is because they just did not tolerate weakness. And for them, dying in a glorious way, kind of like the Vikings, if you died in battle, if you died fighting for a cause that was greater than just you, then you would go to heaven and you would be with the gods, as opposed to just, like, the worst thing for them would be to die of old age. That would be deeply unsettling to any Spartan or Viking or most of those kind of ancient traditions. Now, Sia would hate to die in battle. Frankly, I don't think I would like to die in battle either. I know there's probably some part of me that thinks that that's quite cute, but it must be fucking scary to go to battle and die there.
Mbulelo?
But look, we avoid suffering, right? We all avoid suffering, but in suffering we find meaning. If your life is all just solidly comfortable from the moment you're born, let's say, you know, you grow up with both parents, they both love you unconditionally. You have an easy childhood where there's no real strife. And by that I mean, you know, you have the moderate challenges of high school and, you know, a couple of bullies. And maybe you didn't get all the toys you wanted, so you felt like you were deprived. And maybe you didn't have exactly the shoes that you needed for soccer and that kind of thing. But basically you had an easy life. And then you go into adulthood. And let's say you lose your parents so late in life that it doesn't feel unnatural. And let's say that you meet the love of your life and you two are together from that moment on and there isn't really any disruption to that happiness. And then you get to your 70s or 80s without having encountered any proper friction. And you die from natural causes. And it's a pleasant, graceful exit. They would say in those old traditions, they would say, that's not a life. They'd say that was an existence. It's not a life.
It's not natural. It's not natural to be comfortable.
Yeah. So anybody who's going through shit today, my basic point is, if you're going through awful hell, if you're walking right through the valley of the shadow of death as we speak, and you've had a terrible lockdown, and your relationship's in tatters, and you feel like your health is falling to pieces because you've got fat and lazy, your business is breaking down around you, and your relationships are just falling apart, and nothing seems to be good. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
must you
fear no ill, Because I'm telling you, this is character building shit. And you don't want to hear that when you're in it. Mm. And it's good stuff.
And amen.
You will emerge with like new powers after this. You want to
amen.
You want to talk about superpowers? Wow, I didn't know this morning would turn into a sermon.
Mm.
But we've quoted from, you know, from the ancient Greeks, Herodotus. We've quoted from the Bible. This is strong stuff, motherfuckers. You woke up this morning thinking this would just be like us talking nonsense and shooting the breeze. No. So here's your lesson for the day. You want to develop superpowers? Put yourself in uncomfortable places. And it all started with Mbulelo and his stupid run.
You know, you're on a good biblical path up until you mentioned motherfuckers. I don't think that will work well from the pulpit.
Then you haven't watched enough Samuel L. Jackson movies. Okay, let's do some news. I hate to break the sermon for news, but we got to get there.
Mm.
So Matrix are going to write a combined exam from the 5th of November to the 15th of December. The Department of Basic Education has finally released the combined timetable. Candidates could not write the May and June exams due to national lockdown. So in a statement, the department says the late commencement of the exams will give matriculants adequate time to cover the curriculum. It will also allow time for revision. More than 1 million candidates will sit for the 2020 combined matric exam. They registered for the October-November National Senior Certificate, and they will receive an admission letter listing their subjects and exam center by the end of September. The results will be released on the 23rd of February. I heard someone told me, yeah, they'll finish on the 15th of December, which means there's not much matric holiday. So,
And then if results are released in Feb of next year, that will certainly affect your possible university year.
Absolutely. So I don't know how they're going to do that. But listen, I feel very, very sorry for these matrics. I don't know what else to say. It's nobody's fault. There's no way. Mm-hmm. And Angie, shame. I keep saying how I feel sorry for her because she looks so disheveled. But I think she's one of the ministers, even if she's terrible at her job, and I think she is. She's trying really hard. I know she goes to photo ops at whichever schools look decent enough, because they haven't looked after the schools, the government. And I know that she's delivered nothing but terrible results, and she's given us nothing but matrics that are illiterate and innumerate. I know that, and all of that is very much in my mind while I say this, but I do believe...
This started off as a compliment, just to be clear.
No, it's going back to a compliment.
Oh, okay.
I do believe in her heart she thinks she's doing the best she can, and she probably does go to bed at night exhausted. I think she's exhausted because she's just in no way capable of dealing with the monumental size of this challenge. And she's got good intentions. That's my assertion is that she's got good intentions, but she's just out of her depth. It's like expecting, let me think of a good example. This is like expecting Donald Trump to be introspective. This is like expecting Jeffrey Dahmer to be sensitive and caring. It's just not in them. Angie's just not good at very much, but her intention is pure. So I feel very sorry for her. I feel more sorry for the matrix who have to squeeze everything into this year. And who knows, these exams, they're probably going to make them really easy. That's what I'm expecting. And I don't know, these matrix are going to have to do something to prove themselves in the real world, because
sure,
that national senior certificate is going to mean less than ever. And that's not their fault either. So let's see what happens. And then, of course, as Sia says, next year, there's the challenge of university, and how do you do that when you only get your results in February?
Right.
Busisiwe Mkhwebane, oh, this woman, she's convinced that there's a vendetta against her.
By who?
Oh, well, everyone. She thinks the whole world has rallied against her. You know, she's done nothing wrong. She's a perfectly good public protector. Listen to what Jeremy Maggs said on ENCA.
Yeah. Right, I want to take you live now to Cape Town, the public protector, this afternoon, alleging a vendetta against her to remove her from office. She's been squaring off against Parliament in a virtual sitting of the Western Cape High Court today to stop a removal process against her. The stakes are high. Busisiwe Mkhwebane says Parliament has been acting unfairly against her and its rules are unconstitutional. Our reporter Lindsay Dentlinger is...
All right, we don't need to hear the report, but that's the basic story. So she thinks everyone's being very unfair. And she had Dalimpofu representing her. And he was saying, yes, well, it's clear that the DA hate her. It's clear that the Speaker of Parliament, Thandi Modise, hates her. It's clear everyone hates her. It couldn't possibly be in... Now, you see, Busisiwe is almost the opposite here of Angie. Because Busisiwe couldn't possibly be because I'm shit at my job. Because she's not even trying. Like, Angie's trying, you know?
Gareth, I was on a call yesterday.
With Busisiwe Mkhwebane.
I was not, no.
Oh, damn it.
And by the way, it's because I'm against it. But listen, I was on a call. I was a call with a mentor of mine last night. And she said...
How many of these mentors do you have?
Four.
Oh.
The great four, okay.
So, yeah. Okay, it's Gareth.
No, it's not me.
Please,
do you really think I would be any good as anyone's mentor? If he called me and said, Gareth, I'd like you to be my mentor... please, man. Okay, so you were talking to your mentor. What happened?
It's myself, Beyonce, and Lady Gaga.
I see how those your mentors are: Beyonce, Oprah. Who are your mentors? If you had to have four, you'd choose any people. So
no, I'd have to think very rationally with that. So I don't know off the top of my head. I digress. Mbulele, yes, you were saying.
Hang on, I've got Sia. All right, do you want to know who Sia's are?
Oh, come on,
Oprah. Obviously, Oprah.
Yeah, that's a given. That's a given.
Iyanla Van Zandt.
Who's that?
Maya Angelou. You're allowed to include dead people, right? Maya Angelou, Iyanla Van Zandt, Oprah, and... I wouldn't say Beyonce. I wouldn't say she's a mentor, but maybe Sia would have... Dr. Phil, maybe?
Do you know what's the thing? Yeah. Maya and Oprah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
If, all right, back to Mbulelo's story. You were talking to your mentor and you were on a call last night.
And she was telling me how she had to let somebody go. And she said, you know, I need people that either, you're either solving my problems or you are a problem to me. And I mean, she's so clear about so many things.
That's so and, black and white.
Yeah, you know, and
it's either you're solving my problem or you are the problem.
It's a good mentor.
Well, you one of two things in life, and it's tough for people to hear it because we grow up in a world where everyone's special. Okay, fine, I'll leave that to the psychological analysts to decipher. But anyway, she said something so cool about this whole situation. I think is you're either a problem or you're part of the solution. And you know, the people often that are the problem are the people that talk like this. Is everybody's against me? Is either solve my problems or get out? Is basically what she was letting me. No, and we were, which was quite an interesting way to kind of really cut to the core of it.
I like that.
Mkhwebane needs to hear.
Mkhwebane is, she's a problem. She's not a solution person. She causes more trouble than she's worth. All right, and then there's been an oil spill in Mauritius. This is so sad because it's such a paradise. I hate when I hear these stories about oil spills because, not just because you see those horrible images of the seals or the penguins or the... whatever they are covered in oil, but it's because it lasts such a long time in the water and it just poisons everything. And it just shows you how man ruins everything around him. There's a Japanese owned ship that has caused a huge oil spill off the coast of Mauritius. And they say almost all of it has been pumped out. The operation's been a race against time, he added, amid fears that the MV Wakashio would break up. That's the ship. And the person I'm talking about is the Prime Minister of Mauritius. The ship, believed to have been carrying 4,000 tons of fuel oil, ran aground on a coral reef on the 25th of July. Those poor coral reefs, I don't know if there'll be any left by the time I'm in my 80s. Mauritius is home to world-renowned coral reefs and popular with tourists. But they really don't look anything like they used to look 20 years ago. That's what people who dive, people who, you know, they dive in the ocean. I've never wanted to do that. It's not something I care about. But I do believe that we should try and protect these things, even if it's not something I do.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me that Mauritius is not a great place to go diving anymore because most of their coral's horrible. And most of the life under the seas around Mauritius is not nearly what it was a while ago.
The fuel is, sorry, Attenborough says the Great Barrier Reef is recovering with all the work they've done.
That is very good news.
Good news. Yeah, I remember reading that article a while ago. So that's
okay.
To hear about Mauritius.
Anyway, the fuel's been transferred to shore by helicopter and to another ship that is owned by the same Japanese firm. France has sent a military aircraft with pollution control equipment from its nearby island of Reunion, and Japan has sent a six-member team to assist the French efforts. So it does seem like they're trying to get it under control, but you can still see that horrible shit coming out of the ship, right? Ugh. That just that black oil, and then it floats to the surface. Horrible. This is a terrible story. A mother of a Florida pupil taking her first day of online lessons was killed while her 10-year-old was doing a Zoom call with her class. The shooting occurred Tuesday at 8 o'clock local time in Indian Town, Florida, and was witnessed by five other children in the home. According to the investigators, the girl's teacher heard arguing and was able to mute before the fatal shots were fired. The suspect was arrested after fleeing on a bicycle, a 27-year-old man called Donald Williams. Maribel Rosado Morales, who's 32, was killed in front of four of her own children and two young cousins. The girl who attends Warfield Elementary School was taking her first day of online classes after the coronavirus pandemic forced schools in the area to turn to online learning.
Yikes.
The teacher said he heard a commotion, heard profanity, realized it was some sort of domestic altercation. The teacher said she muted her button so that nobody could hear it, and then she saw the 10-year-old put her hands up to her ears. Oh, my God.
So, oh, my God.
So this guy, you know, if you look at his picture, he looks like he's high as fuck. And he's wearing this, like a homeless person outfit, and he's got dreadlocks. It's just a mess. Like, people, if you look like that, and I know this is a terrible generalization, but if you look like that, you probably don't really have too much going on in your life. And
wow.
I can only imagine what motivates someone to walk into a house where there's a mother with five kids and just shoot her. Some people really just, they don't have, there's no space for them on earth. We're busy. We're all trying to move forward. And this monstrosity keeps holding us back. I was driving, I had to drive into Pretoria to drop off some documents yesterday. And I drove past the Gautrain. You know, they put up those concrete fences around the Gautrain tracks to stop people from crossing the tracks. You know, it's a public safety thing and to protect the property of the Gautrain. And I saw like some of these have been broken. Now, they don't get broken by wind or by earthquakes. That means a person, a human person, has gone there with something, some tool, and smashed concrete. And I thought to myself, there's no way that someone who does that is in any way able to be rehabilitated into society. If you're just wantonly destructive like that, you've got to, I'm going to assume you're a terrible person and there's no rescue. We've just got to find who those people are and just let them kneel down and take them out execution style. They can't be good people, right? Just destructive, dangerous people. And it reminds me of this dude. Anyway, R. Kelly, speaking of unrehabilitatable, this guy. Federal prosecutors on Wednesday announced the arrests of three alleged associates of R. Kelly, saying that they used harassment and threats to try to silence women accusing him of sex crimes. For more than a year, the artist, born Robert Sylvester Kelly, has been awaiting trial in several states for alleged wrongdoings, including sex crimes against minors and child pornography. He's pleaded not guilty to all the charges, which range from across the states of Illinois, Minnesota, and New York. In filings released Wednesday, prosecutors say three members of the artist's circle have been engaged in separate bids to silence his accusers. So they've decided, fine, those guys are being charged as well.
And the funny thing is they probably did that just for free dinner to go on tour, a watch. Just be part of the entourage. That's all.
Yeah, don't worry, R. Kelly. We'll just silence your accusers for you. Threaten them. Nice people.
You know what's weird about the R. Kelly thing?
So many things, but you go ahead.
The fact that he leaves a Christmas tree round all year round in his house?
That's monstrous. That's not weird.
Okay. Yeah.
But the point taken is R. Kelly used to carry his tapes around with him. The way. One cassette, two studio. Like, that came out as a detail. I'm not sure if you're aware of it. He used to carry the disgusting tapes of these poor children with him. Oh, wherever he went.
His sex tapes?
Yes.
Ugh.
Like, what kind of guy are we dealing with here?
No.
Yes. Real. Oh, that came out.
No.
Yes.
What a horrible, what a horrible person.
I believe I can fly.
Yeah.
Meantime.
Jesus.
Please don't ruin the music for us. No.
All right. Listen, they say level 2's on the horizon. There were reports yesterday in the news that Cyril, who we haven't heard from again, and you know, someone walks into his study where he's sitting in his slippers, twiddling his thumbs, and they say to him, "Mr. President, you know the country hasn't heard from you in 3 to 4 to 5 weeks," and he goes, "Oh, really? Do they want to hear from me again? Well, Mr. President, it might help for you to keep your hold on power and to not become totally irrelevant." Oh, okay, well then, I know what we'll do. Let's schedule one of those briefings where I tell them to wear masks and wash their hands. Well, Mr. President, I don't know if that's interesting enough anymore, and people don't really give a fuck about this disease. What? You mean they're not terrified of the coronavirus? No, you've definitely scared some of them, Mr. President. Oh, okay, then we can relax. No, you got to talk to them again. But what am I going to say? Well, Mr. President, it might be a good idea to go to level 2. No. I like this level 3. This is good stuff.
But you see, I thought they were all just rumors up until Dr. Zweli Mkhize mentioned it yesterday as well.
Really? He did?
Yeah. So he says that along with the NCCC, they are looking at moving the country down to lockdown level 2 as early as next week.
Well, I mean, they keep priming us for this. Like, all the things that they said were dangerous are diminishing. Like, the curve is flattening, if you know what I mean. Because they explained that to us, remember?
I just want to hold on to the faith. Please, man. Please.
What's the promise of level 2, though? Can we now...
It's been so long since someone explained the levels to me. Maybe Canthan will know in the burning platform.
Alcohol and cigarettes might go on sale as well from this.
Yeah.
And level 1 is more like complete travel restrictions. Or I think that is part of level 2. But anyway, there were some people across the country who were posting photos of some of their liquor stores. You know, some liquor stores have had like sheets covered up there. Their windows, so those sheets have been taken off, hinting that as well they might have caught some wind of alcohol sales being lifted as well. But I was making some dinner last night and I thought, well, if we can buy liquor from next week, let me have some wine tonight.
Yeah, according to a news story, this is from News 24, they're reporting President Ramaphosa chaired meetings of the NCCC and Cabinet on Tuesday, where there was an overwhelming sentiment that the economy must be fully reopened. Calls to lift the ban on alcohol and tobacco have intensified recently in the wake of huge financial losses in both industries. It's believed President Ramaphosa will make an announcement this week. Well, let's see.
You aren't going to hold your breath?
Well, Greg says when they tell Cyril the country needs to hear from him, then he says he's shocked and he'll set up a commission of inquiry.
And I'm not one to, you know, just say it for the sake of saying it, but, you know, Michael Jordan yesterday, former CEO of F&B, and, you know, he's involved in Rain, he tweeted, "This weekend it will most probably be announced that almost all sectors of the economy can open for business, except crowded indoor places, but with social distancing, hand sanitization, and wearing of masks."
Good to hear, because
I don't think someone like that just sucks his thumb and thinks, let me tweet this.
No, he does. He does not. But good to hear, because I think we're not talking about the real victims here. It's Janet who can't go and do her yoga class on a Saturday in the botanical gardens.
I know women who are doing yoga at the moment.
In public together gossiping? How dare they?
No, I think it's in small groups in private houses.
Firstly, Mbulelo's back to being disparaging against housewives.
Always.
Secondly, Janet will have Chardonnay possibly open at her beck and call from next week. So I think yoga can take a back seat.
Sia, we've got a suggestion here for your mentor list. This is from Kahlo Hleng, who says, Ellen DeGeneres is definitely on your list of mentors.
Not anymore.
Natalie says, morning, guys. Well done, Gareth and Sia, on the show last night. It was excellent. When I heard Rich Mulholland and Dion Chang, I knew it would be interesting. Downloaded the audiobook of Madness of Crowds, too. Yes, well done, Natalie. That book is great. And thank you for your compliment.
Very cool. Thank you.
It was a fun show. It's the first show in this TV show that I've enjoyed from beginning to end. And that's because it takes you a while to get into it, you know. So I felt like last night was a really good mix, and it was fast, and it was choppy. It was to the point. I liked it.
If you missed that episode, it will be available around midday online.
Yeah. Here's something for you, Mbulelo. This an interesting observation by Guy. Guy says, as a species, we're in a destructive phase at the moment. If all the people who are in a position to do a job actually did it efficiently, we would need for nothing. So if you can't change something, either get into a space where you can, or get on with changing the things that you have control over. Or, I suppose, get out of the way, right, Guy? You agree with that, Mbulelo?
I do, especially the takeaway is if you can't change your environment, you must change yourself. So I totally, totally agree with that.
No. Hey, leave Janet out of this. Regards, Janet. People are getting sensitive first thing in the morning.
You got to fight for your right to yoga, Janet.
Yeah.
You got to fight
for your right,
to yoga.
Temba says, morning team, me and Mbulelo share the same love for endurance running. I do it every weekend. Good for you. And I was listening to yesterday's podcast when Gareth said he'd accept an invitation from Namibia to come and live here because he's tired of the South African government not giving a rat's ass about their people. Sorry to burst your bubble, GC, but the Namibian government takes its people for pussa just as much. South African government sort of major in not caring about the people. Anyway, Mbulelo, have you ever had an unfit girlfriend? I feel like all your girlfriends have been through a lot. You just keep on running and they can't keep up.
Non-starter. If you're not in physical shape to be active, you're a non-starter for me. Okay. So no, absolutely not.
Sure, but Mbulelo, I don't mean to judge, he says before he proceeds to judge.
Sure.
But yeah. I mean, like, you are also... Your fitness things aren't really romantic either. I just feel like you'd go as far as ordering like cauliflower based pizza, or if you order a burger, then you tell your girlfriend to take the buns off so that they just have the filling. Ugh.
No, the reason I exercise is so I can eat whatever I like. Remember, you must always be willing to pay the price for the weapon you carry. So if you're going to eat pizza all day, you better make sure you're willing to smash those crunches or a 20K run on the weekend. So no, it's quite the opposite, in fact. It's the fact that I can eat anything I want all the time.
Here are one or two more comments before we get to the burning platform. an interesting point of view raised here by Shira. She says, I was in the Mark, that's the shopping center in Sandton yesterday, and I saw the gym getting ready to open. Okay. That's good news.
Okay.
Hey, guys, pro tip. Cyril last spoke to us, and I quit watching news. My life has never been better. It's like Corona isn't a thing. I've been wearing my mask in public, but that's about as far as it goes. All of the restaurants in my area sell their booze. If you want a beer, they present you with an empty alcohol-free bottle and your actual beer in the glass. Wine gets offered in a teapot and so on. Life will find a way. That's Clint from the Val. Good for you, dude. So he doesn't give a shit about it.
Wine from a teapot.
He doesn't care. All right, that's all we got time for in this hour. When we come back, we've got the burning platform brought to you by Nando's and featuring Canton Pile this morning. Very exciting lineup and some interesting stuff to talk about. Maybe we'll get into what level 2 means, what level 1 means. It would be great to have some decisions being made by government. It really would. It could just restore a lot of the faith that has been squandered over the last couple of months. So let's see what happens, huh? And and as some of the comments in the last little bit of the show have indicated, there's maybe some stuff to start getting excited about again. And that would be a good thing. All right, cliffcentral.com. It is 7 o'clock.
Cliffcentral.com.